Imagine living your life relatively safe and happy. You go to work. You come home. You spend time with your friends and family. Then you sleep and do it all over again. Then imagine that one day your peace of mind is gone. Everywhere you go, you are accompanied by an unsettling feeling. Eventually, you become convinced that someone is trying to kill you. To everyone around you, your actions seem unreasonable and concerning. But to you, your life is in danger, and you are the only one that can do something about it. But sadly, in the case of a young man from Canada, his efforts to save his life were all in vain. The mystery surrounding him has remained elusive for nearly 3 decades, with no answers in sight. This is the story of Blair Adams. Blair Adams was born on December 28, 1964. He enjoyed his life as he grew up in British Columbia, Canada. Despite the everlasting enigma of his case, there is a surprising lack of information regarding his early life or familial background. Descriptions from his mother depict him as kind-hearted and ambitious. Additionally, an ex-girlfriend fondly labeled him as lovely and a complete gentleman. Something important to note is that, throughout the majority of Blair's life, there were no indications of any mental health issues. This will come into play as we delve further into his mystery. The trajectory of Blair's life took a significant turn in 1996, when he reached the age of 31. At that point, he was in the process of recovering from alcoholism, having maintained sobriety for 2 years. With a firm grip on his life, he had recently ceased attending Alcoholics Anonymous meetings. Employment-wise, Blair held a commendable position as a foreman at a construction company in Surrey, British Columbia. Additionally, he had a committed girlfriend residing in Germany. Their relationship had blossomed when Blair was involved in his stepfather's construction business, working on a project situated in Frankfurt just a year earlier. Despite the geographical distance, they managed to uphold regular communication and sustain their relationship. For a period of time, Blair's life was on a smooth trajectory, but that would take an ominous turn. It started with a near-complete change in his demeanor. Colleagues at the construction firm, who once praised him as a cheerful and dependable worker, began noticing a shift. Blair's recent behaviors included acts of irresponsibility that jeopardized his job security, such as leaving his worksite unlocked, exposing valuable materials and tools to potential theft. Moreover, he exhibited signs of increasing paranoia, frequently asserting to others that he was being pursued by someone intent on causing him harm, even to the extent of wanting to end his life. Blair's mother couldn't even get a firm grasp of what was going on with her son. She asked him numerous times what was wrong, so that she could help him. But all Blair told her was that he didn't think he should tell her about it. To this day, no one knows what he was referring to. But we can only assume that it played a part in his brutal murder. Claiming that rumors were circulating about him, Blair expressed discomfort with remaining alone in his apartment. Without hesitation, he resigned from his job and even abandoned his final paycheck. Instead, he put together arrangements to leave the town and cross the border into the United States. On July 5th, a mere 6 days before the mysterious tragedy, Blair emptied nearly all of his savings account. He then retrieved his valuables from his safety deposit box. Consolidating his cash and precious items into a fanny pack, he set off to visit his uncle in a neighboring town. Unfortunately, his uncle wasn't home, leaving unanswered questions about Blair's intentions and motivations for seeking the visit. Additionally, the large money in his possession prevented him from being able to cross the border. On the morning of July 8th, Blair visited a travel agency and splurged $1,700 on round-trip plane tickets to Frankfurt, Germany. His exact destination remained uncertain. Perhaps he intended to visit his girlfriend, although she seemed unaware of any such plans. Regardless, Blair promptly canceled the plane tickets on the same day, indicating a change of heart for unknown reasons. The following sighting of Blair occurred on July 9th, as he once again attempted to cross the United States border, this time on foot. During processing by immigration officers, they observed scratches on his hands and legs, and he appeared disoriented. However, that wasn't their only concern. Blair bore an uncanny resemblance to the description regarding a suspect involved in a recent car theft. A blue vehicle stolen from Vancouver had been discovered abandoned near the border crossings. Immigration officers lacked concrete evidence linking him to the theft, thus permitting his return to Canada. However, his crossing into the United States was once again prohibited for that day. Determined to enter America, Blair returned home and decided to use his own vehicle for the next attempt. Upon reaching the airport, he decided against purchasing a plane ticket and instead rented a car. It's speculated that Blair frequently switched vehicles to avoid detection, as his own car might have already been flagged. For that reason, he left it at the airport. His third try proved successful, as Blair managed to cross into Seattle in his rented Nissan Altima. Upon arrival at Seattle Airport, he abandoned the car and purchased a one-way flight to Washington, D.C. for $800. Upon his arrival in D.C. in the early hours of July 10th, Blair proceeded to rent another vehicle. He drove a Toyota Camry for 7 hours to reach Knoxville, Tennessee. This was yet another move of Blair's that confused the investigators. As far as they were able to uncover, Blair did not know anyone in Knoxville, so why would that be his destination? Blair's mother suggested that he might have been heading south to attend the 2016 Summer Olympics in Atlanta. While this explanation holds some merit, confusion arises regarding his adamant insistence on entering the States if his purpose was solely to attend the Games. The lack of coherence in Blair's actions adds to the mystery. Furthermore, it is peculiar that Blair's mother initially withheld this information from investigators and has since remained silent about how she learned this. The first documented encounter with Blair Adams in Knoxville occurred at a gas station where he approached the attendant and requested assistance in finding a mechanic. Blair explained that the key to the Toyota Camry he had rented was malfunctioning. The mechanic was able to discern that Blair was trying to use a key belonging to a Nissan Altima, which obviously wouldn't be able to start the car. The key likely belonged to the vehicle Blair had abandoned at Seattle Airport. The mechanic advised Blair to search his pockets for the correct key, as he must have possessed it to have driven the Camry to the gas station. However, Blair refused to comply, insisting instead that the mechanic call a tow truck. The mechanic found his actions odd, but complied with his request. As the tow truck arrived to remove the Camry, Blair walked away. The mechanic later described Blair as appearing disoriented and disconnected from reality. He specified that he didn't appear as if he were under the influence of alcohol or drugs, but that he seemed as if he was in a daze. The subsequent sighting of Blair occurred as he checked into a Fairfield Inn at around 7 p.m. According to hotel staff, Blair swiftly completed the transaction and departed without waiting for his change. His stay at the hotel was brief, and it's unlikely he even entered his room. Within a span of 40 minutes, surveillance footage captured Blair entering and exiting the lobby multiple times. With no further visitors arriving, Blair departed on foot around 7:37 p.m. This marked the final confirmed sighting of Blair Adams alive. The following morning, on July 11th, two workers stumbled upon the deceased, partially nude body of Blair Adams in a hotel parking lot. Surrounding him were stacks of cash, totaling thousands of dollars in various currencies, including Canadian, American, and German bills. Additionally, more money was discovered concealed within the pockets of his removed blue jeans. Most of the cash seemed undisturbed, except for approximately $110 that was later recovered from another worker who confessed to taking it from the scene. One sheriff examining the scene remarked on the curious manner in which Blair's pants had been removed, suggesting it appeared as if they had been pulled down by someone else. His socks were found nearby on the pavement, along with his car keys, including those for the Toyota Camry, which he couldn't find, and his hotel room card. Blair's shoes had also been removed, with one placed beneath his head, indicating an attempt to use it as a makeshift pillow while awaiting assistance. Near his body lay a duffel bag and a fanny pack containing maps, travel receipts, 5 ounces of gold bars, jewelry, coins, and a pair of sunglasses. It was evident that whoever was responsible for Blair's death wasn't looking to rob him. Investigators canvassed the area, questioning residents and workers in the vicinity. The only substantial account came from a security guard stationed at a nearby establishment. He recalled hearing a brief scream at around 3:30 a.m., believing it to be from a woman. Aside from this report, no other valuable information emerged. An autopsy revealed that Blair's cause of death stemmed from a fatal blow to his abdomen. The examination indicated that he had endured a beating, possibly inflicted with a blunt object like a crowbar or baseball bat, resulting in a laceration to his forehead. However, it was the blow to his stomach that proved fatal. Evidence suggested Blair had put up a struggle, evident from the bruised and bloodied state of his hands. Notably, investigators discovered a single strand of long hair clutched in one of his hands, representing a crucial piece of evidence in the case. So far, no matches to this hair have been identified. There is speculation that Blair may have been subjected to an assault, but no DNA evidence supports this theory. The thought is mostly fueled by the discovery of his body, partially nude from the waist down, giving the impression that it may have been a botched encounter of some kind. The vicinity where Blair's body was found includes a truck stop just across the road, an area known for those types of encounters. Another theory suggests that Blair may have been involved in illicit activities, explaining the substantial amount of cash and gold in his possession. Allegedly, while working in Germany at his stepfather's construction company, Blair had gained a few enemies. He confided in his girlfriend about his fear of people seeking to harm him. However, the likelihood of these individuals traveling all the way from Germany to Canada and then crossing the border solely to target Blair seems questionable at best. A third theory suggests that Blair may have experienced a psychotic episode, causing him to believe he was being pursued. These hallucinations could have been entirely within his own mind, and by pure bad luck, Blair might have simply been in the wrong place at the wrong time, and it could be simply coincidental that he was murdered during a period when he felt threatened by someone. It has been more than 27 years since Blair Adams found himself at the hands of a brutal killer. While the investigators maintain that Blair was most likely delusional, they do not believe that his murder stemmed from those delusions. Detectives working on this cold case have expressed that, unless someone steps forward to confess to the crime, solving Blair Adams's murder is highly unlikely. The night before his death, Blair was seen in the company of an unknown individual at various restaurants in Knoxville. A composite sketch of this man was created, although it remains uncertain whether he was connected to Blair's murder. Until someone is able to come forward, the murder of Blair Adams remains a mystery.